because you are not alone, you are not forsaken. And if every man, woman, child, and animal on this planet has turned its back on you, your God never will, your God never has. He refuses to quit on you. You're not alone.
When you're being pressured, how do you respond? Do you feel abandoned and just give up, or do you rest in God's peace and provision? Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Jeremy Pearson as he teaches Speak the Language of Faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearson. I'm so thankful to get to spend this time with you wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening. I love coming with the Word of God into your life, and I hope you enjoy it as well. I know many of you are learning great things from this broadcast and other ministries all over the world. I'm so thankful that God has put men and women in the world like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and so many others that have refused to quit preaching the Word of God. They've refused to quit living by faith. They've refused to quit giving. They've refused to quit on God, and God refuses to quit on them. And I'm going to tell you something. God refuses to quit on you. God is not about to abandon you. So don't you abandon Him. Don't you abandon His Word. Don't ever say, well, I tried these things and it's just not working for me. Don't do it. You go back to the Word. And just like we read on yesterday's broadcast out of the book of Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of endurance. So Father, I'm asking you today to grace us with that kind of endurance, grace us by the help of the Holy Spirit that we'd be able to push through and persevere, and we refuse to quit. We refuse to quit you, and we're so thankful that you refuse to quit us. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, not long ago I was preaching in a church and had a word from the Lord. And I believed it was for the whole church. And someone came to me afterwards and said, that was for me. And the word of the Lord was this. He asked that congregation, he said, will you do me a favor? Which to me is just an honor just to hear that from him. Yes, Lord, of course, I would do anything for you. The Lord said, will you do me a favor? Will you just not quit? Whatever it is, and I hear him saying the same thing to you right now, whoever you are, wherever you are watching this broadcast, the Lord is saying to you, just do me a favor and don't quit. Don't give up. Just hang on. We go back here. If you look at this in Hebrews chapter 10 again, we'll read this in verse 35. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your confidence, your boldness to boldly grab a hold of the things of the Word of God, your confidence to boldly live by faith, your confidence, man, that is so precious to God. And He says to you, it has reward on the other end of it. So don't cast it away. Don't throw it away. Refuse to quit. Refuse, absolutely refuse to quit. Don't quit your marriage. Don't quit your job. Don't quit your church. Don't quit on your family. God is telling you, if you'll endure, I'm working something in you right now, and you're closer to the end of this thing than you realized. I'm speaking to somebody right now, maybe a lot of people, but the Lord is saying to you, you are so close. Don't quit on me. I won't quit on you. Praise God. Isn't it good to know that He refuses to quit on us? Lord knows He has had so many opportunities to quit on you and to quit on me and just say, are they ever going to get it? I don't know. But instead, He has refused to quit on us. Thank God for that. Don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. Verse 36, you have need of endurance. If the Bible says you need endurance, guess what you need? Endurance. There are so many counseling sessions that could begin and end with that right there. You need to endure. You need to stick this out and keep walking by faith and keep speaking by faith and refuse to quit. Just don't quit. you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Listen, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. And if that's the only thing you knew, then you'd have reason to be bold. If that's the only thing you knew, you and I would have reason to be confident in seeking the kingdom of God with our whole hearts and with our whole lives. See, boldness is the result of knowing something. So you'd live bold in this life if you knew that the decision you were about to make was going to turn out good. You'd be bold to invest that money if you knew you were going to get a great return on it. See, your hesitation, though, to invest comes from not knowing how it's going to turn out. If you knew that making that move across state or across town or across the country was really going to work out in your favor, if you knew that, then you'd be bold to do it. But your hesitation to do it is because, oh, I'm really not sure if it's going to. Boldness comes when you know something. So instead of being depressed over what you don't know, begin to rejoice over what you do know, and begin to take heart in who you know. And if all you know is that God is good and He's love and He gave me Jesus, then you've got enough to rejoice in. And He says here that a little while and he who is coming will not tarry. You know that Jesus is coming again soon. There's your source for endurance. There's your source for boldness. If you remember in yesterday's broadcast, we read James chapter 1. It said, count it all joy when you fall into various random trials. How are you going to do that? Yes, I know our life is supposed to be different and we're supposed to be marked by a difference, but how is it even possible to go through random trials, go through things and it feels like stuff's just falling all apart around you? How's it possible to go through that and still with a smile on your face and faith in your heart and coming out of your mouth? How is that possible? Well, the very next word and the very next verse is knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You know something. In the middle of that stuff you're going through, you know that something is going on in you and you are growing, you are developing, you are becoming stronger in Him, you are getting your roots down deeper in Him. And this thing that tried to pull you off track, if it were to ever show up again in your life, you would just walk right through it. Why? Because you refuse to quit this time. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to know that you've got what it takes to never give up? And I tell you, if you're looking for an example, if you need to know where to look for this kind of endurance, look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How does He want you to run? With endurance. That means don't just get excited about this thing for a little bit, run, nothing changes, and quit. No, run with endurance. You are in this thing for the long haul. Faith, the life of faith, is just that. It's the life of faith. It's the walk of faith. And you are not done walking, so just keep walking. Just keep living and keep living by faith, so that we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. How are we going to do that? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How could Jesus endure the cross? I know what you're going through is tough. I've been through tough stuff. We all have. But you've never been nailed to a cross. You've never been crucified. He did that for you and He endured it. He did not give up. He didn't give up in the garden. He did not give up when that pressure was closing in on Him and He said, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, but He threw that off and He said, not my will, but yours be done. And he refused to quit. He didn't give up then. He didn't give up at that scourging post when they were whipping him. He didn't give up when they were lying about him. He didn't give up as they were beating him. He didn't give up when they drove the nails through his hands. He did not give up when he died and went into hell. He endured through all of it until he rose again for you. He endured it. But endurance, that kind of boldness, that kind of endurance has to have a source. What is the source? It's knowing something. The source, the cause, the thing that will cause you to endure through what you're going through is knowing what's on the other side of it. See, that's the difference between us and the world. They have no idea. They have no idea what's on the other side of this economic downturn. They have no idea what's on the other side of this uprising in Africa, what's on the other side of these governments that are crumbling. They don't know what's on the other side. But see, you and I can endure knowing what's on the other side of this. We know what's coming. How did Jesus endure? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He knew that on the other side of this thing was you. On the other side of this cross, on the other side of death, hell, and resurrection, was getting you back, was having you back in the family of God. And it was knowing that that pulled him all the way through it. And for you and I, knowing that Jesus is coming again, knowing that he is soon to return, and in just a moment of time, all of this will be over. And even if it's not in our lifetime, even if it's not just in the next few breaths, still it's so soon. And see, people, from the moment this verse was written, Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. He said it's a little while, and he said that a long time ago. Isn't that interesting? But because he said it, then the people after him said it. Because he said that Jesus is coming, the people after him said Jesus is coming. And because that generation refused to quit and they looked forward to the coming of Jesus, because they refused to quit, say it, and they preached it and they preached it and they preached it, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Get right with God. Receive his grace. Why? Because Jesus is coming. And they refused to say it. They refused to quit saying it. They refused to quit preaching it, because that generation refused, then the next generation refused. And they kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it. And because that generation kept saying it, then the next one said it, and the next one said it, and the next one preached it, and the next one demonstrated it. On down the line, all the way till we get to you and to me, our parents and grandparents. And because my grandparents have preached the coming of Jesus, my parents preached the coming of Jesus. And because they did, I'm preaching it. And I'm telling you, it's soon and very soon that he's coming again. But listen to me, even if we don't see it in our lifetime, we can't quit saying it. Why? For the sake of those that are coming after us. Because if you quit preaching it, if you quit saying Jesus is coming soon, then who's going to tell the little ones that are coming up? Who's going to tell this next generation? They need to know that Jesus is coming. And it's that event that is drawing us towards it. You are moving towards it, but it is drawing you towards that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just endure. Don't quit. Don't give up. Soon and very soon, he will come again. Don't quit. Refuse to quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at this together. Continuing along these lines, I want you to see this. In order for you and I to not quit, in order for there to be a difference in our lives, it's going to take a change of perspective. You're going to have to look at things differently than this world looks at things. You're going to have to see the same challenges they see, but respond to them differently. That's why we looked at David and Goliath. The whole army of Israel heard the words of Goliath, and they responded in fear. David came out and heard the exact same words, but responded in faith, responded with boldness. That's going to be the difference between us and those that don't know Jesus. Between us and this world and its system, the difference is how you respond to it. Now, there have been those that have misunderstood this message and thought, oh, yeah, faith, that means you'll never have anything go wrong in your life again. That means there'll never be a challenge in your life again. And if that's what you've thought, I'm sorry, sweetheart, that's a misunderstanding. The difference is how you respond to it. The difference is how you respond to the challenge. Does it depress you, or do you go to the Word of God and get bold and approach it in faith? That's supposed to be the difference between us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 illustrates this difference in perspective. Look at verse 16, right along the lines of what we've been talking about, refusal to quit. Do you know why I'm in ministry today? Because it's because my parents, grandparents, and for generations before them refused to quit when it got hard. They refused to quit when it got tough. That's why I'm in ministry today, because they didn't quit. And I'll tell you this, my life, there are certain things in my life that I do with great ease that were very hard for them, but they plowed through and they dug through and they refused to quit and they did it for my sake. And on the other hand of that, there are things in my life and my family, Sarah and I, in our life in ministry, there are things that we will come up against that we are going to have to make a choice. We're either going to quit or we're going to push through. We're either going to quit or we're going to keep our confidence and our boldness and see this thing through to the end. And when we make that decision, we're not so much making it just for our lives, we're making it for our son, Justice James Pearson's, the one who's, he's, as I'm taping this, he's just about a year old. And we're doing the things that we're doing right now. We're doing those things for his sake. We're changing our mind. We're changing our perspective about what's really hard, about what's really tough, and we're changing the way we see it, and we're doing it not only for our sakes, but for his. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not give up, even though our outward man is perishing. Now, that right there is enough for a lot of people in the world that don't know Jesus. That right there discourages them. It depresses them. Every day I'm getting older. Every day I'm dying. I die just a little more every single day. And because of that fear and because of that depression, they go out and they get obsessive about trying to keep this outward man from dying. And you can't do it. He's perishing. The outward man is perishing. Now, you can change the way that you grow, and you can change the way that you get older, but you can't keep yourself from this body from dying. He says, look, the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You've got to learn to see these trials. You've got to learn to see these problems that you deal with. You've got to learn to call them light afflictions. You've got to learn to see them as momentary light afflictions. Now, let me tell you what he was calling a momentary light affliction. Look up a few verses earlier. He says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side. Pressure coming in on us from every single side. Do you know what that's like to have pressure from everywhere? Yeah, maybe you've experienced some family pressure before or some job pressure before, but this is pressure on every single side. And the kind of pressure they were going through was persecution and under threat of life. Under threat of death, I should say. These people were threatening to kill them, and it was that pressure that was causing them, it was that pressure that was closing in on them every single day, all the time. And you know what Paul, through the Spirit of God, called that kind of pressure? A light affliction. It's just a moment. It's going away. It's a change in perspective. You want to have boldness? You want to have courage? Learn to see these things as a light affliction. He says, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. Yeah, it's pressing in on us, but it can't crush us. Why? Because we've got something in us that's pushing back. We've got a treasure, he says, in this earthen vessel that's pushing back. It's pushing pressure, refusing that pressure, and it can't crush us. We are perplexed. In other words, we got questions. Yeah, I wonder about some stuff. Isn't that what I said? These problems that try to surround you, these various trials that you've fallen into. Yeah, you've got questions about it. Yes, I'd love to know where it's coming from. I'd love to know what the source of this problem is. But you know what? I'm not going to get depressed over it. And the only way I'm going to keep from getting depressed over what I don't know is to rejoice over what I do know. And that is how you begin to change your perspective and you see it. Yeah, this pressure, these questions, just last a minute. Any minute now, God's going to answer this thing and we're going to know our way out. It's a change in perspective. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. That's the bedrock foundation of your boldness. God is with you. Refusing thoughts of loneliness, refusing the temptation to live and to feel and to act like you're just all alone in this life. Yeah, we may be persecuted, but you are not alone. You are not forsaken. And if every man, woman, child, and animal on this planet has turned its back on you, your God never will. Your God never has. He refuses to quit on you. You're not alone. He says, we're struck down, but we are not destroyed. Every single one of these things that anybody in this world would absolutely lose their joy, lose their peace, and lose their mind over, he says they are momentary light afflictions. And I know what's on the other side of this thing. My God is pulling me through. He is pulling me out, and I will be victorious in this. Why? Because thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Thanks. Thanksgiving. This is where we're going tomorrow. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. And thanksgiving is your response. Faith is your response to grace. And grace is whatever came to you from God through Jesus. So thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus. The grace of God on you is causing you to triumph. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. It's grace that's going to pull you through as long as you respond in thanksgiving. God, I thank you for the victory over these trials and over these problems. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
When the enemy tries to move in, there's no need to run and hide. It's time to step in and send him running. No matter who you are or where you came from, you can be free to live life to the fullest. God no longer sees you under the curse, unworthy, sick, or poor. Understanding who you are in Christ is key to living in the fullness of the good life promised. In Kenneth Copeland's 8-part CD series and study guide, Understanding Who You Are in Christ, you'll be transformed by this foundational teaching and in-depth study on the reality of redemption as you begin to see yourself as God sees you. You've been redeemed from the curse, so begin to enjoy all that belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. You'll also receive free with purchase Jeremy Pearson's Bold Beyond Uncertainty, an effectual complement to this teaching. Make the decision, know who you are in Christ, and claim your victory. Order the Understanding Who You Are in Christ package at a 40% savings for just $30 at kcm.org. In this 8-CD series and study guide by Kenneth Copeland, learn the power of knowing how much you are loved. And free with purchase, you'll also receive Bold Beyond Uncertainty, a CD teaching by Jeremy Pearsons. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland, go to kcm.org.
Understanding Who You Are in Christ. This is an 8-CD series by my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland. And when you order it, you're going to receive this study guide to go along with it. Now, you probably didn't know this, but you could be a Bible teacher. What you need to do is get these CDs, go along with the study guide, listen and make your notes, and then turn around and teach it to somebody else. Put these same materials in somebody else's hand, because you're going to see once this thing gets into your life and you see the way it affects you, you will be hungry for it to affect somebody else. else that same way. That's just what happens with the things of God. This is a foundational teaching. Learning to see yourself the way God sees you, it will change your life. And when you order this, we want to send something to you totally free called Bold Beyond Uncertainty. That's what we've been talking about on these 2 weeks of broadcast. And it's just a 1 hour teaching that'll bless you, something that you can listen to over and over. And Sarah and I want you to have this teaching. So call and order yours today. We want you to know that KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, is built on the foundation of the Word of God and praying the Word of God. Prayer goes back to the very early days of this ministry. This ministry was launched in prayer. And because of that, it's still very much a vital part of who we are and what we do today. And our prayer ministers, my grandparents have prayer ministers that are on this staff that are here and ready to serve you. In Fort Worth, we have a prayer staff that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you live in the U.S., we have that available to you. If you live somewhere else in the world, then what we invite you to do is check our website, and you can check the hours of operations for those prayer departments. But the point here is that we've got people that are ready to come into agreement with you and pray. Pray the prayer of faith. Amen. I also want to let you know about something, the KCM Scholars Program. It's in partnership with the United Theological Seminary, and it's offering a fully credited Doctor of Ministry degree. So if you've already got your master's degree and you're looking to study more, which sounds like you're probably already addicted to learning, go to kcm.org and find out more about this program. There's a lot of information there about it, and learn about it and see if it's for you. Amen. This very well may be something that you want to continue learning and growing in these principles of faith. This is good stuff. You need to get a hold of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise God. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Kenneth Copeland Ministries announces the Kenneth Copeland Scholars Program with United Theological Seminary.
When I saw that Kenneth Copeland Ministries had partnered with UTS, I knew that was the program for me. My prayer life has increased. I have a more intimate relationship with the Father. I have a more desire to do His will. My foundational scriptures, I know the plans I have for you. And as Paul said, I don't claim to have made it already. I'm pressing toward the mark, but I also know that all things work together for good. So my foundational means are just more solid foundation. Kenneth Copeland is a man of integrity, and UTS, it's an awesome program. It's accredited, and they've got graduates nationwide, even internationally, and I'll be a part of that program.
It's important that leaders like you are well-trained and well-equipped for reaching the world from the top to the bottom and all the way around. Go to kcm.org for more information about how you can receive the education and training you need.
Join us for the 2011 31st Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, July 4th through the 9th. 5 power-packed days designed to put you personally in touch with God. Don't miss this opportunity to discover your full potential. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partners meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches healing school. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Copeland Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer Monday through Friday. Youth services are available Monday through Saturday, 1440. Student Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God. For ages 13 to 18, Commander Kelly and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 to 12. It's all free. July 4th through the 9th, the 2011 Southwest Believers Convention. For the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.